And one of Coast to Coast's favorite guests, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, with us. We will talk about hypnotherapy, out-of-body, reincarnation, and so much more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, of course, conducts hypnotherapy practice in Los Angeles, specializing in reincarnation, time travel, soul healing. Dr. Goldberg has been inducted into the International Hypnosis Hall of Fame, has written at least 21 books, more than 24 scientific articles on his incredible work, and he's even looked at me in the future. And here he is, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, back on Coast to Coast. Bruce, how are you?
I am fine, George. It's always a pleasure to connect with you and the many great listeners of Coast to Coast AM, the greatest radio station and show in the world of radio. And for this evening or this morning, we're going to discuss energy healing. I'm going to discuss my famous super conscious mind tap technique and how people can do it themselves. The fifth dimension, of course, ascension technique, so you don't have to come back, teleportation, and of course, reincarnation.
I love it. You have such a passion for what you do, Bruce. What gets you so excited about this?
Well, I'll tell you, I use hypnosis every day. I train all my, of course, patients to use self-hypnosis with the CDs, et cetera, and my practice and the computer sessions I do. But basically, if you use self-hypnosis on a daily basis, and I always recommend people do it, it's a natural daydream level. But if you do it a little bit more formally, what you can do is you can increase your production of DHEA, so you'll look younger. I play tennis better now than I did 30 years ago, okay, because of this. And I just have a love and a passion. This is a calling, just like you have your calling, both as yourself and as Dexter Monterey in another 100 years or so, you know? So, I mean, this is a passion. To me, you know, most Americans I find, most of our fellow countrymen really aren't thrilled with their job after X number of years. They get burnt out, and they get kind of like, yeah, whatever. And to me, I can't live that way. To me, my attitude is always have passion. You know, I'm Dr. Positive here. And the passion, the positivity, and my devotion to training people to be psychically empowered to be all they can be and to use connection with their higher self, which is what we're going to discuss, is really part of it. Here's a little quote to show you how what I think about life.
Okay.
We must all be big enough to admit our mistakes, smart enough to profit from them, and strong enough to correct them.
That is so true. So true. You know, I tell my children, Bruce, it's okay to fail. Just learn with what you did and don't do it again.
Well, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
So true. Now, tell me about this super conscious mind tap technique. What is this?
This is a technique I developed way back in 1977, and this is a way of, think of your soul, the subconscious mind is a clinical term. We call it the soul in the more lay theological literature. And the soul is really electromagnetic radiation, just like a radio signal or a TV signal, and it's harmless radiation. In addition to having, but of course, it's all compromised. Nobody's perfect. You know, we just had Easter here, but nobody walks on my water, my pool, my backyard, you know, including me. But we also have a higher self, or it's called the superconscious mind. The superconscious was named by Plato 2,300 years ago. And the superconscious is the perfect part of your soul's energy. It comes or emanates from the God energy complex. So what my technique is very simple. It's really a shamanic technique that I kind of westernized many years ago, is to introduce the patient's subconscious to the superconscious during a hypnotic level. So you might think of me as the social director on the karmic cruise ship, as I like to think of myself here. And what happens when you do that, this is what we're dealing with. The subconscious mind now is compromised energy, will now be exposed to its perfect counterpart, and it will then raise its own energy level, just like an immune system, like an energy immune system. So now it will be immune to issues it was previously vulnerable to. Because the healing energies originate at a spiritual level, they can work on any facet of a person's being. So you can overcome habits, phobias, meet a soulmate, overcome procrastination, just take charge of your life, become more positive, more spiritual, etc. Of course, the patient must be motivated and willing to experience the soul healing. Each one of us has free will to accept or reject any healing technique. The higher self, of course, directs the union of the patient's healing by way of energy. It's perfect energy, of course. And when I deal with illness, I look upon this as illness is not seen as a problem to be fought against. It's a condition of simply imbalance of energies. The purpose of illness is to bring something to our attention, and the higher self can actually, if you work with it, can balance it out and eliminate whatever the issue is. Soul healing cooperates with the body's own healing forces rather than overriding them like drugs try to do. They drive the disease process internally. Using soul healing, which is non-drug, no drugs whatsoever are ever prescribed by me here, you're actually solving it by removing the cause of the issue. And soul healing is completely natural. Every one of us has the ability to draw upon our own higher self and do this. Now, when people do this, what happens? What are they like? Well, what's an example of characteristics of people who go through soul healing? And by the way, I'm not the only one in the world who does soul healing. My technique is a little bit more efficient, but there's a lot of people out there doing things like this.
Okay.
People are more empowered. They look at the opposites of life as being meaningful, related, rather than problems. They're more creative. They demonstrate a higher level of intense thoughts and feelings. They enjoy life a lot more. They have a lower fear of death, lower fear of fears in general, less susceptibility to fears. The out-of-body experience mechanism, which is part of this process, is critical to the reincarnation and ascension. So it's all part of the process of how we perfect our soul's energy. When you measure people like on the electroencephalograph, these patients will exhibit a greater synchronization between their left and right brain. And this has two side effects. One, it causes people to have a greater sex life. And secondly, it increases their brain power. So if you don't like those two characteristics, then don't do this, okay? Now, what's interesting about electroencephalographs with people who go through actual out-of-body experience understand the concept that all dreams are out-of-body experience, and that has been demonstrated by UCLA Dream Laboratory and others around the world. During an out-of-body experience, the skin may appear very dry and warm to the touch. The brain waves, the EEG as we call it, the electroencephalograph, tend to exhibit a narrow frequency band and produce a visible distortion of the body along with deep sleep and physical relaxation. So these are all positive things. When you go to sleep at night, you're actually in the REM cycle, the dream levels for 3 hours a night. The problem is people don't know what they're doing. They tend to think about negative things before going to bed, so they go to the lower astral plane.
Which is the worst thing to do, isn't it?
Right. What you want to do a half an hour before going to bed, you know, I always, with my patients, I give them CDs to play. They can read poetry. They can relax. Don't watch the 11 o'clock news if that's when you're going to. Don't do that at that time. Do it early in the evening if you want. You want it last half an hour. Think positive thoughts. Just relax. Chill out. Do something you enjoy. No arguments with your wife or husband or whatever. Don't do any of that stuff. Do that early in the day if you're going to do that. Half an hour before going to bed is critical. When you do that, you're going to leave through either the fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh chakra, preferably the crown chakra at the top of the head, the seventh, and the only place you can go is the upper astral plane if you do that. If you think of negative thoughts and do all the things I'm telling you not to do, you're going to leave through most likely the third chakra, which is the belly button or the solar plexus area. And the only place you can go to is the lower astral plane, where you're going to meet all kinds of negative entities, Darth Vader and, you know, all these weird, strange things, gargoyles and pixies and trolls and all the things you don't want to deal with. And they're going to harass you for 3 hours, and that's not a good concept. And that's why people wake up more neurotic than when they went to bed at night, because they spend their time on the lower astral, and you don't want to do that.
Is that also, Bruce, why some people wake up and they're exhausted?
Right. They're kind of burnt out because they've been literally chased for 3 hours. Now, when I wake up in the morning, and patients I train to do this, I mean, I am a ball of energy. Well, you've seen me. You know, you've seen me in the studio and, you know, television and radio, right? I mean, I just have tons of energy, and I'm not superhuman. Anyone can do what I'm doing here. But when you have the upper astral plane experience, you're going to access your higher self. You're going to wake up recharged. You know, I was on a media tour promoting a couple of my books several years ago, and I had literally 48 hours with no sleep. And I was doing workshops. I was on TV and radio. I was on overnight radio in New York and all kinds of stuff. I went to Denver and New York for the two workshops and et cetera, and went to a major book convention meeting for the INATS meeting for the New Age bookstore people. And at the same time, I was using my superconscious mind tap rather than sleep because I didn't have time for the sleep. You know, I take red-eye flights when I fly to the East Coast. And I had no problems. Everything went well, and by the time I finally got my 8 hours of sleep or 7 hours of sleep, I felt like Rip Van Winkle because I wasn't used to sleep for 2 days. But anyone can do this. I don't recommend that particular paradigm, but I do recommend anyone doing this. So that's the superconscious mind tap. It's a great technique. My website, of course, has five different exercises so people can see what these are, including out-of-body experience, fifth-dimensional travel techniques that we'll discuss as we go through the night, too. And so this is the superconscious mind tap. And remember, the key issue here is out-of-body experiences in the fifth dimension, because this leads us to the next phase here, which is what I call the conscious dying training. And if your listeners have their computer around, there's a figure, the first figure or to the left, of the figure of the little ET is the actual a diagram showing what I call a COBE, which is a conscious out-of-body experience. This is a technique which is really an ascension technique, and I'm going to show you what this means. When people go through their life, if you look at the chart, you see the birth, and then it's got consciousness, which is your daily life, and then there's the death, okay, crossing into spirit or clinical death. Now, there are three kinds of out-of-body experiences depicted on this diagram. One that we're all familiar with, of course, is the near-death experience. I don't recommend that as a trial period. You don't want to clinically die for 3 or 4 minutes. Plus, don't flatline yourself, folks. It's not a good idea, okay? Near-death experience, you are actually clinically dead for a few minutes, and you are revived and this and that. But that leads to a negative situation called unconscious dying, as you can see by the chart, because you're not exposed to your higher self. The other kind of out-of-body experience, number two, is labeled OBE, and that's your regular out-of-body experience. People go through the REM cycle at night, et cetera, or they have experiences during the day if they're practicing techniques. And that's fine, too. But that isn't the biggie, because, again, if you do that and you go through your regular life, you're going to wind up with what we call the unconscious dying, which takes you through the disorienting forces of the lower astral plane, where you are harassed for umpteen amount of time, and then you're going to wind up at the soul plane to choose your next life, and then you're going to reincarnate, as you can see from the diagram, going back to the lower astral plane, where your memories are all wiped out, so that's why people don't remember their past lives, and then you're going to have unconscious rebirth, and you're going to have another neurotic life. It's not a good concept.
No, is it like being in hell, Bruce?
Well, people would actually call that hell. When they, see, to really, there is, if you read my, you know, my work, there really is no hell. Hell is eternal damnation. There's a temporary, you can get out of the lower astral plane. And when you do, it's not hell, it's not eternal. But the lower astral plane is a very nasty place. Now, the COBE is the one that most of your listeners probably don't know about unless they follow my work. The COBE is when you actually connect with and merge with your higher self at the moment of death. And if you look at the chart, you see the COBE takes you through what's called conscious dying. You go up to the soul plane by avoiding the disorienting forces of the lower astral plane. And then when you eventually choose your next life in the soul plane, which is what that is all about, then you're going to go through a conscious rebirth where, again, you're avoiding the disorienting forces of a lower astral plane. Then you're born into a body which is now you're going to be more spiritually evolved. You're going to have memories of your past lives, and you're going to be more spiritual powered. You're going to have a much better life, and things are going to be a whole lot cooler than they would be if you didn't do that. And there are so many things you can do. There's a case, you know, we just went through a holiday of Easter. There's a case that I reported in one of my books about a Thanksgiving day of conscious dying, and this is what happens. A woman, I call her Ashley, was experiencing a very difficult situation. Her husband had died. She came to my office a few months after to learn the techniques of conscious out-of-body experience and conscious dying. Now, even though her husband died unconsciously, it's still possible to connect with the person using techniques to help him go out of the lower astral into the upper astral and actually eventually to the soul plane to choose his next life at a more positive level. So I trained her how to do the techniques. Now, this was the first Thanksgiving that Ashley spent without her husband. And she did volunteer work at a local hospice program, and she went to that hospital at 9 o'clock that morning. Now, one of the male patients was very ill, and he was just about to die. So she decided to practice the technique of the conscious dying meditations, the before death, after death meditations, etc. And she did this with the man. He's still alive, and she thanked him for the privilege of being with him on that day. And she left the hospital and spent the afternoons with her friends. Now, at about 6 o'clock that evening, Ashley called the hospital to check on the man's condition, and the nurse informed her that he had died at 4 o'clock that afternoon. Ashley viewed his body. She wanted to see him again. And this is what she wrote to me after this experience. Remember, she's there about 3 hours after his clinical death.
Right.
This is what she says. I quote, "When I got there, he definitely looked at peace, but there was something else I sensed about him. I held my hands above his body and felt the most incredible pulsating energy radiating from him. After just a few minutes, I could feel a tremendous shift in energy, and there was no longer anything over his body, but I could actually feel his soul rising up out of his forehead across my hand." And then she says, wow. That's an example of conscious dying. So Ashley became her own conscious dying therapist. That's a beautiful experience. And obviously she helped his soul on the other side, as well as her husband, and as well as her own growth, because she obviously grew as a result of this. So this is an example of what we call conscious dying. dying end. The COB, it's called the COBE, the conscious out-of-body experience.
Can you ever be in a situation, Bruce, where you've left your body and can't get back in it?
Actually, the only time that happens is when you clinically die. Literally. You have what's called that silver cord that everybody has heard about, right? And
right.
The silver cord is actually a connection between your subconscious mind and your higher self. Now, when you go through the any kind of near-death experience, for example, when you're going to come back, the silver cord is not severed. It's still in one piece. When you clinically die, the silver cord now is severed, and that means you ain't coming back. You're going to be going through the various dimensions, eventually winding up at the soul plane. So when people practice out-of-body experiences, they say, gee, is it really dangerous and this and that? They're afraid they're going to be, you know, not come back. They're going to clinically die. You're talking to somebody who is on the earth plane. You know me, George. You've seen me, right?
Yes, I see.
I have been out of the body over 3,000 times.
That's got to be a world record.
Oh, the Guinness people haven't contacted me, but they're welcome to. Okay. And I'm not trying to brag about it, you know, but the point is that I have never had a problem with out-of-body experience. Nobody had, by the way, in the history of the last 150 years of scientific research on this, no one has ever, ever had any kind of negative experience from an out-of-body experience. So you're never going to have to worry about that. So if I can do it 3,000 times, trust me, folks, it's really cool. I've done out-of-body experiences when I used to study for exams in dental school and help me study better. I've done this when I was skydiving. I did that. I've done this during workshops. I've done this on interviews. It's beautiful. It's a tremendous experience. So out-of-body experiences takes us where? To the fifth dimension. And you're traveling in your astral body if you go to the astral plane. And the nice thing about the astral body is that it's usually dressed in clothes that that you like. In other words, if you want to dress yourself as a past life, let's say you had a great past life and 1,500 years ago, you would dress that way. The astral mm-hmm. body is taller, thinner, and younger looking than you are now, okay? So a lot of people like that. When you go out of the body, though, the physical body can become immobilized and rigid. This is not to be a fear. This is part of like the sleep cycle. You go through a sleep paralysis, which is a normal part of our sleep cycle. A lot of these characteristics can be avoided by using spiritual white light protection techniques and others, which, of course, I always do, both in person as well as the CDs. The pulsating silver cord connects the astral body to the physical body. The cord appears to become thinner as the distance between the two bodies increases, and it is pulsating. And it's got like little stars, like little iridescent little things that you see as you look at it, the closer you get to it. It's really interesting. The astral body is weightless because it's energy and a spiritual body, but possesses very acute perceptive abilities, especially towards sounds and bright and vivid colors. You actually hear a whole lot better when you're out of the body. Physical body now appears as an empty shell, but the soul leaves a clone of itself, like an alias on a computer. So your body is always protected when you leave it. So you don't have to worry about possession or clinical death at all. The awareness of being out of the body is usually due to the inability to move objects on the physical plane. There's a big difference. You'll create an environment that looks like the earth plane, like your bedroom or wherever you're doing this, but your hands are going to pass through the physical matter, you see. And we see some portions of the environment that could not possibly be perceived from where our physical body is known at that time. So that's another way of knowing that you're out of the body. And then there's a technique when people do these techniques, they say, gee, no, doctor, I experienced all that, but the problem was I wasn't at the ceiling of my room. I was in my body. And there's a technique I labeled called IBEs years ago, and IBE stands for in-the-body experience. You have all the characteristics of an out-of-body experience because you're really technically not functioning from the earth plane.
But you don't leave.
But you stay within the parameter of the physical body. But now you're using your astral senses. So now you can use your astral eyes, see into the fifth dimension, which you can't do with your physical eyes. Your astral ears can hear things from the fifth dimension. You can observe parallel universes as well as all the other dimensions that are out there. So it's a really cool experience. And it will eventually lead to a full-blown out-of-body experience once you remove the fear of leaving the body and just practice a few techniques. And it's just a beautiful experience. And when you're in the IBE, you have what's called dual consciousness, where you actually are aware of both physical plane, earth plane experiences, as well as the astral plane or the fifth dimension.
Hold on, Bruce. We're coming back for more with you on what I ask you about these entities that are out there grabbing us when we come back. Well, about 8 feet under, actually. That's pretty deep. We're coming back in a moment with Dr. Bruce Goldberg as we talk about these other dimensions and these entities that are there to grab us. Next hour, we'll continue chatting with Dr. Bruce. Plus, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Bruce, before we get into some of these other entities of these dimensions, what's new with you? What's new with the website and
since we talk about reincarnation tonight, I want to reincarnate my offer from last time, the book Exploring the Fifth Dimension. If your listeners order it from my website, they will get a free CD called the Fifth Dimensional Travels to Guide Them Out of the Body. It's a very, very successful technique and it's been used by thousands of people. Now, to get the free CD, you have to order the book. If they just want to try an out-of-body experience without buying a book and they don't have a computer, folks, if you have a computer, the exercises are on the site. But if you don't have a computer and you want a written exercise of the fifth dimensional travel, just call my 1-800-KARMA-4-U, which is 1-800-527-6248. And I will send you the written exercise. And the first 200 callers will get a free Access the Akashic Record exercise, along with the packet, which will describe all the books and CDs. And as you know, December 21st is coming up, George, and you know what that means.
It's Mayan Calendar Day, Bruce.
It's going to be in studio with you and Tom That's and right. Lex and pizza and, you know, and holding the hands of the universe to show people that nothing is going to happen. It's going to be just like the Y2K became Y2OK. It's going to be no problem, so I'm looking forward very much to it.
You don't think when the clock strikes midnight, we'll hear on the air, and that'll be it for us?
Huh? No, I think that somehow this is going to be, the sun will rise the following day, and it will be fine. But it'll be a pleasure to be in the studio because we'll get a lot of calls and a lot of activity. And you'll be surprised. There'll be a lot of people panicking at first, really worried because they're going to be, you know, there's so much junk going on. And then they're going to hear us. And they're going to hear yours truly, and I'm going to still be on the Earth plane on December 22nd, and people will be getting ready for Christmas time just like you do every year, and everything will be fine as the winter solstice makes its appearance. So I'm looking forward to that. The other thing I want to point out is that, so you asked me about that. On the website, by the way, people who want computer sessions, Skype sessions, I do that, of course. That's on the website. There's also a depiction of time travel, tracks of the time travel that we've discussed so many times is on there. There's many articles. There's five different exercises, including the fifth dimensional travel and psychic protection from negativity and teleportation is on there, too, as well as a bunch of videos. There are 13 different videos of people going through experiences, including Jerry Springer's past life and a few others going into past and future lives. So the website's chock full of a lot of good stuff, and obviously email address and all the contact information is on there. So I appreciate you allowing me to let your audience get a little bit
Absolutely.
Of that. What I want to discuss now is that the second figure that's on the site, on your site, is this is an example, speaking of the fifth dimension and ETs now, because we're going to deal with that a little bit. How can somebody, a woman, a young girl, a lot of these are teenagers, how does a young girl, let's say in New York City, living in an apartment on the 80th floor, right, in Manhattan, how is she abducted? You know, where's the craft? Don't you think that the fire department, the police, the FBI, the Homeland Security, everybody's going to be there like, it's going to be like a bad movie, right? Well, this is what can happen. The entities, in this case, I'm showing grays, like the Zeta Reticuli, they can actually enter into a tear in the fabric of space-time, fifth-dimensional mentality, call them gatekeepers, if you will, and they can actually enter into the room, as you can see on the depiction, or the drawing there, and they can actually come through the fifth dimension, abduct the girl, take her into that fifth dimension, wormhole, tear in the fifth dimension, whatever you want to call it, take them to their craft or underground installation. Now we have, you know, a military and government conspiracy aspect, which, as you know, all about that, and then return her later on when they've done their experiments, sperm and egg samples, or whatever they're doing, and that's how a person can be abducted without having to have a craft hovering over the building. And this is called a fifth-dimensional abduction rather than your traditional regular Earth plane three-dimensional abduction. So that's how it works. I mean, this is not fun. Remember what I said last time. When do abductions occur? Wednesday evening, Wednesday is the most common day. 11 p.m. is the most common period of time. And July is the most common month for abductions.
Why?
It's just the statistics. I mean, maybe they just like the summertime, and they like they do it at night. Of course, it's easy to get away with it. And why Wednesday, middle of the week? I don't know. Maybe no TV's on. I don't know what's going on.
Who knows?
That's the thing. Those are the statistics. Now, a couple of advantages. People always say, you know, when you go out of the body, I've done this 3,000 times to show you that it's perfectly safe. What are the advantages of doing that? Well, one, by traveling through the fifth dimension, you are symbolizing the reincarnation cycle and the eventual ascension. So guess what? You eliminate the fear of death. Death is nothing to be afraid of. It's changing dimensions and eventually a new body. It's like getting a new car. You can also contact lost loved ones, especially with the conscious out-of-body experience or training I talked about earlier. You can contact spirit guides, angels, your own higher self, right? You can do what I call astral negotiation, where you can negotiate with people on the earth plane that you're having problems with by summoning their astral body to come into what I call a sanctuary. And the sanctuary technique is also depicted on the website as an exercise. And then you can work out problems on the astral plane where they're far more open and negotiable. And then when you go back and wake up the following morning, as they do in their bed, they're going to say, you know something, I don't seem to have that problem with that person anymore. And they're really, you can work out a lot of problems. Very interesting. You can do healing. You can do what I call etheric plane surgery, going to the etheric plane, which is a rather complex technique, but we've discussed that in the past. You can increase your creativity if you write, if you sing, if you perform music, whatever your creativity is. You can see the future, because the future is part of the space-time continuum. All time is simultaneous. You can facilitate your own ascension by your own spiritual growth. And last but not least, especially with my sanctuary technique, you can meet time travelers, ETs, the good ones like Pleiadians and some of the others, and enjoy and be enhanced both by data as well as your own karmic cycle and just the universe. So these are really cool things. Now, when you're in the fifth dimension, there are entities you're going to run into. Now, we've talked about you can meet your own spirit guides and angels and things like that. Well, departed souls are very important. You can meet a departed loved one, which can help you overcome the bereavement or grief cycle. You can meet people who are having their own near-death experiences. They're going to be passing through the fifth dimension, too. Now, they'll eventually go back to the earth plane when they're resuscitated, but you can do what we call these near-death experiencers. You can meet, of course, your spirit guides and angels and, of course, your higher self. Now, you don't want to go to the lower astral plane, because you do, you're going to meet lower astral entities, and they're not going to be, they're not going to like you, okay? They're going to treat you they're going to try to torture you and do all kinds of things that you don't want to do. So you want to always go to the upper astral.
And you can't avoid that area, right?
Yes, you can. You can, by using the techniques, the protection techniques, and the techniques that I do in my practice, and the CDs, et cetera, everything is protection. And if you do these techniques right and don't have drugs, don't use, believe me, folks, this is a big thing I get. Don't take a hit on a joint. Please don't use cocaine, crystal meth, whatever. Don't do that. Don't take any kind of medication. You're going to go wind up in the lower astral, and you are not going to have a lot of fun. So you want to do this au naturel, and you want to do this with, please, no drugs. You can meet, again, extraterrestrials, like we talked about the Zeta Reticuli. You can meet the Pleiadians and others. You could also meet the time travelers, et cetera. And these are the kind of entities that they hang out in the fifth dimension. They use that as the way, you know, how do you get a craft from Zeta Reticuli 25 light years away to the Earth plane or to our Earth planet? What they do is they go through what's called the warp drive technique by traveling through the fifth dimension. And our current physicists today will tell you that the models are there. We know that. The Alcubierre warp drive, this Mexican physicist years ago, developed the models, and it has never been criticized. It has never been destroyed or knocked academically by his colleagues. So we know you can actually zip through the universe without having to worry about traveling the speed of light, you know, and having unbelievable mass, and you can't do that. You can do that by going through the fifth dimension, and that's how they do it. And there are gatekeepers. Pleiadians, for example, are gatekeepers that make these trips rather routinely. Going through the fifth dimension is something not to be afraid of, folks. It's great. Look at me. Do I sound like I have a problem here? Okay. this is the example of what you can do, and again, you can grow, you can empower yourself, and do fun things. Now, also, what you could also do with these techniques is as we've discussed many times in the past, teleportation. I came across a teleportation case from many years ago, and I'd like to quickly describe it. This is a case that occurred in Siberia. How's that?
Okay.
There's a father, Litvinov, in 1933, he opened the door to his church in order to admit a young man who had a look of horror on his face. The young man said his name was Dmitry Grishkov, and he claimed that he was to have been married that day, and on his way to the church, he had stopped by the cemetery to visit the grave of a boyhood friend. As he stood there paying his respects, he was startled to see an image of his friend who had been dead for over a year. As he turned away from the cemetery to make his way back to the village, he became terrified when he realized that nearly everything in the small Siberian town was different. Dmitri ran from the church, shouting in anguish that he had to find his family, his friends, his bride, and Father Litvinov noticed a strange light and a gray mist around the young man. That's very important now. And in the blink of an eye, he had just vanished right before his eyes. Well, Father Litvinov never saw the man again, so he went through the old parish records, and he discovered that in the past two centuries, a schoolmaster and two other priests experienced encounters with the boy who stepped into the future. In his parish records, he also found the name Dmitri Grishkov, the young man who had stopped by a friend's grave on the wedding day in 1746 and mysteriously disappeared. How's that?
I like that.
So. Leave it to the Russians, huh?
Tell me about the law of karma, Bruce.
Well, basically, this simply says that, you know, the law of karma is that whatever you are exposed to is karmic lessons. And they're not always punishments. Sometimes you just have to learn tough lessons. If you learn them, you grow, you don't have them repeated, and you move on. If you don't, you get interest and penalties. If you do something stupid or negative to somebody purposely, you're going to have to pay for that. Maybe not that day. Maybe the person that, or if you do something, you get away with something. Maybe you'll get away with something temporarily. But eventually, you're going to have to pay the piper. And so the law of karma is the law of cause and effect. It means if everybody practiced the law of karma, like the golden rule, think of it that way, wouldn't we have one hell of a nice planet? Right?
We sure would.
Who would do anything if they knew they're going to get it paid back to them? I, for example, like I have people, you know, I have a lot of contacts and I do favors for friends and people that I even hardly know sometimes. And I know by doing that, there's somewhat of a selfish motive. I do a favor for someone, their life improves. I get pleasure out of that, but I know the universe is going to reward me for that, like being on Coast to Coast, as an example. So the law of karma is simply just be cool, follow universal laws, be spiritual, do things with a positive motive. Your motive is more important than the actions. If you do something nice and you kind of mess it up because maybe you weren't trained in something or whatever you're doing, but your motive was good, you're not going to earn negative karma. But if you purposely try to hurt someone or just play games with people, folks, don't do it. Be cool. The universe will reward you. The universe is very objective. It doesn't have favoritism. If you follow the rules, you'll be rewarded. If not, you'll be punished by a lot of negative stuff. So the law of karma is something that you want to, pay attention to and do successfully. Now, another law that's important is the law of attraction. This is a biggie. The energy you send out is what you get. Now, you know me as Dr. Positive. You know, your listeners are constantly emailing me and say, how come you're so positive, you know? Okay. Well, if you send out positive energy, you're going to have a lot more positive things happen to you, and my life definitely illustrates that. If you are cynical and negative and just think of your cup is half empty, Murphy's Law, and all the yada yada stuff, you're going to have a lot of problems. You can also use the law of attraction to help yourself in other aspects of your life. You can help your family, your friends. You can attract a soulmate. You can get a good job. You can find that perfect car or clothes or vacation spot, whatever you want to do. If you send out positive energy, the universe will respond in kind. And if you send out negative energy, you're actually psychically attacking people. If you do that, you will also send out things in kind, too. Remember in your first book, George, when you talked about that the radio station, the young girl who was being hit on by all these radio dudes and stuff? Remember that?
Yep.
The psychic attack part, and what happened to all these guys who were trying to do their nasty things and play games with her, every one of them suffered, right?
What goes around comes around.
Right, that's exactly the point. That's what it means. So, and remember, the golden rule is not a, people theologically classify that as a Christian principle. The golden rule precedes Christianity by thousands of years. It's in the Vedas and Indian literature, the Puranas and the Bhagavad Gita. It's all over the place. It's simply the universe way of saying, look, we're going to help you guys out. But you guys need a little bit of help. Just do these things, and you'll benefit. And that's what it's all about. So, the law of karma, the law of attraction, there are many other universal laws, which, you know, the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book and my other books will also depict those in detail so people can read them and see how to apply those. It's kind of fun. And in reincarnation, another nice thing about this, one of the fun things about this, is the documented cases. Don't you just love those, you know? My famous case, The Search for Grace, which was CBS made into a movie, was about a woman who was murdered in 1927 in a past life as Grace Doze, and she gave me about 24 facts, 22 of which were completely verified by old newspaper reports, but two of them weren't. As it turns out, the reporters were wrong, and she was correct. It's one of the most documented cases of the last century. And there are many other cases of documentation. You had, remember the James Lininger case, the World War II pilot?
The little boy
was the World War II pilot, a very interesting case. Of course, the work of the late Ian Stevenson, may he rest in peace, for over 50 years, did over 2,500 cases of children between the ages of 3 and 7, and they were documented. They came through intimate details of things that were just brilliant, and his cases were just beautiful. One example of a case of he talked about this very young child was a boy in Beirut who spoke of a 25-year-old mechanic thrown to his death from a speeding car on a beach road. And according to multiple witnesses, the boy provided the name of the driver, the location of the crash, the names of the mechanic's sisters and parents and cousins, and people who he went hunting with, all of which turned out to match the life of the man who had died several years before the boy was even born, and who had no apparent connection with the boy's family. This was a very poor family. They didn't do much traveling. What's interesting is that, let's say a person gets stabbed to death by the right side of their body, okay, like where your appendix is.
Right.
Well, it's not uncommon. It's infrequent, but it's not impossible for the person to be reborn in a new body, remember, you're not genetically related. Most lives are completely different genetics, so you don't stay in your family very often. That's extremely rare. And when the boy is born, let's say it's a boy, he's going to have a birthmark that's going to symbolize the exact same place where he was stabbed in that past life.
That's pretty dramatic.
The late Ian Stevenson's more recent books, the latter books of his life, the last few books he wrote, talked about birthmarks and all kinds of things that occurred because of the actual physical manifestation of the death of the previous life. So you can actually see that. People can actually see, you know, if you do have certain birthmarks or some unusual characteristics of your body and you do some past life regressions, don't be surprised if you're going to see how they actually relate to it. Now, another concept of reincarnation, which my work seems to be rather unique about, is what I call paragression. Now, past life regression is going back into a past life. We know that. Progression is going to the future. A paragression, as we've discussed several times in the past, is going into a parallel universe. So it's the same time frame, but now you're in a different universe. Everything looks the same, but the events are different.
Okay.
That's where Dexter Monterey has even more listeners.
Absolutely. And Bruce, let me ask you this about reincarnation. Sure. We're going to hit the break, come back with more, and take some calls. But do people who lived in a different life know the other people in their present life or their other reincarnated life? Do they all stay together?
Well, there is a certain, like, for a certain number of lives, not all your lives, because the average person out there has had 1,000 past lives, I can tell you right now. I mean, that's a conservative number here. There are certain groups of people that it could be your family, your parents, your lovers, your, you know, good friends, whatever, colleagues, that you will reincarnate with several times. And we can do what's called karmic scripting when I do a regression to find out who's who. But eventually you're going to move on, just like with spirit guides. You have spirit guides around you. When you perfect the things and master that level, you're going to get new guides on a more higher level. So, yes, you do reincarnate. We call this group karma, and we can determine that, but you're not going to have the same people over thousands and thousands of years. That's very, unless it's a soulmate or somebody really important to you. Most of the time, it's just people who you have to learn certain lessons from and work with, and that can include family members, but you're eventually going to move on. So not everybody's going to be around every single life.
All right, Dr. Bruce Goldberg with us. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Very simple for you. It's drbrucegoldberg.com. One of his books, of course, he's got many out there, but one is called Exploring the Fifth Dimension, and he'll toss in a free CD for you, but you have to order it off his website. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM, final hour, and we'll take your phone calls and your stories. Maybe you've been undergone hypnosis, and you can tell us a story. We'll be back.